57. The recitation verses are 53 through 58 and 63 through 67. Then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebecca. He also gave costly gifts to her brother and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, "Send me on my way to my master." But her brother and mother replied, "Let the young woman remain for us for 10 days or so, then you may go." But he said to them, "Do not detain me now that the Lord has granted success to my journey. Send me on my way so I may go to my master." Then they said, "Let's call the young woman and ask her about it." So they called Rebecca and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" "I will go," she said. Verse 63. He went out to the field one evening to meditate, and as he looked up, he saw camels approaching. Rebecca also looked up and saw Isaac. She got down from her camel and asked the servant, "Who is that man in the field coming to meet us?" "He is my master," the servant answered. So she took off her veil and covered herself. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebecca. So she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to worship you again today. In our various lives, there are things that we focus on rather than you at times. But still, Lord, we know that you are always with us. And we thank you for that. In this coming week, we ask, Lord, that through your word, we can experience your grace and be able to express glory back to you and gratitude as well. Let us do so with joy. And please strengthen our faith as well. Please watch over Pastor Anjiki as he speaks today. And we have great expectations of what will be done. Praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. And happy Father's Day. Don't forget about that. That's not for me. It's for all of you and your fathers. In families, the mother's existence is very important. And because of that, sometimes fathers aren't really appreciated. So at least once a year, we should remember, oh yeah, we have a father. Please don't forget. So today we're reading a story about... today, actually, we see various couples here today worshiping the Lord. And in Japanese, there's a phrase kind of like in English, soulmates, which refers to married couples that are happily married. And this word in Japanese is actually referring to Mandarin ducks. And the males are vibrant colors, whereas the female is brown. And they actually are always together. They always like swim together and fly together. And the male will just never leave the female. And so that's why in Japanese there's the word soulmates, which kind of refers to these ducks. However, when I found out information about a duck hunter, for these types of duck. He said that actually the males are very concerned that the female will be taken by another duck, and so that's why they're actually always with him. So then you'd want to be supporting these male ducks. And according to duck hunters, if the two birds are flying in the sky, if he can shoot one, there's an easy way to get the other one as well. And that's if he shoots the female duck first, because if doing so, then that one will fall to the ground, and then the male will definitely come to be with the female, so it's easy to catch the male as well. However, if you do it in reverse order and you shoot the male first, then of course the male will fall to the ground, but the female is just going to fly off. So you can see that in the duck world, the men really have it hard. In today's story, we're seeing how a man and woman come together to become married. And from their story and what happens thereafter, we're going to be looking at today. Looking a little bit back in the story, we remember that based on Abraham, who had extreme faith, it is said his son was named Isaac. Abraham lost his wife Sarah and was quite old at this time. And Abraham's only hope was that he would be able to find a wife for his son. Abraham sent one of his servants, the one who he could trust the most, to go and find a wife for his son. He told him to go to distant relatives and find an appropriate woman for him, then to bring that woman back for Isaac. This would have been an extremely important task for the servants. So he took 10 camels and spent about 20 days to head over to the specified area to look for a wife. From God's guidance and the help of an angel, he was able to find an appropriate woman for Isaac. And based on that behavior of the woman, he was able to determine that, yes, she would be acceptable for Isaac. Her name was Rebekah. The servants talked to her father and her older brother and told them all of what had happened so far. Rebekah's father, mother and brother, their response is mentioned in verse 50. Says, Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other." So they recognized that this was of the Lord, and so they weren't willing to give their opinion on it because it only mattered what the Lord had in mind. Verse 51, "Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son as the Lord has directed." You can see, based on this, that the servant was very serious about doing exactly what he was told by his master, Abraham. The servant was able to find the woman that he was looking for, and along the way, he had faithfully worshipped God. Now that he had the answer to the prayer, he was praying again and seeking God's guidance to go forward and bring her back. You can see just what a faithful servant he was. And he was very pleased to see that what he had prayed for had come to pass. And so he's not asking for more things now. Rather, he's praying to God in gratitude, thanking God for what has happened. As for us, when we are wanting something, we want it so badly that we keep praying and praying and praying for it. But then after the prayer gets answered, sometimes it happens that we aren't so enthusiastic about praying anymore. When times are tough, we really make an effort. But when we get what we asked for, we just like, oh, thanks, God, and then move on. Sometimes we even forget. However, this servant was very loyal in that he not only desired and prayed for what he desired, but then was very faithful in expressing gratitude thereafter for receiving it. In Luke, in the New Testament, in chapter 17, there's an accounting of this village where there were 10 people who had very serious leprosy. And Jesus came to them, and they had heard that Jesus had healed people before. They wanted their skin disease to be healed as well, and they asked him to have pity on them because they wouldn't be able to contribute to this society and or go back to their families until they were healed. So they cried out to Jesus to ask for a healing. Jesus said that they were to go to see, show themselves to the priests. Priests in those days were people who were able to make judgment as to whether someone had been healed or not. After they had received the judgment of healing, they would be allowed to go back into the society. So these 10 went to go see the priests. As they were going along the way, they found out that their illness had been healed. However, of the 10, only one, when he knew that he had been healed, came back to Jesus. He went to Jesus and said, "Thank you so much for what you have done for me." And at that time, Jesus said, "We're not all 10 cleansed. Where are the other 9? He says, "Has only one come back to speak to me?" As for ourselves, when we receive an answer to prayer, we should be extremely grateful for it and to be able to reflect that appropriately to God as well. So when the servant was praying to God and asking for something, we can see how he was faithful in the same way to express his gratitude for receiving it. The servant had received a lot of presents from Abraham. Of course, there were the 10 camels, so they would have been able to carry a large amount of items. He gave these to Rebecca and her family. They would have been very grateful and surprised. And this would also signify that they had been engaged, Rebecca and Isaac. When that would have finished, they would have had a special dinner party and celebration. The servants would have likely told everyone there just what kind of person Abraham was, and also about Isaac as well. It's likely he would have told this to Rebecca too. After the dinner party was finished, they would have rested, and the next day he was ready to return. In verse 54, the servant says, "Please send me on my way to my master. I'm going to take Rebecca and go." But they're like, "You just came yesterday. You spent 20 days on the road and going through the desert with camels. Wouldn't you just want to wait a little longer before going back? You should take a break. Maybe just give us like 10 days or so we can spend these last days for our daughter, Rebecca. You know, you should be tired too. Don't you think you'd want to just rest for a bit?" But the servant was indignant and said, "No, do not detain me. I will go back." Why is it that he wanted to go back to his master so quickly? It's likely he wanted to tell his master as soon as possible the great news that he did find a wife for his son. The servant's motive would have been to please his master, Abraham. He would have been thinking just how it is that he could make his master happy, and that's what he was desiring to do. Abraham, and of course the servant would have been a little tired after such a long journey if he himself was kind of older and he'd spent 20 days on the road. He would have likely thought that, but for him, the highest priority was to please his master Abraham. With that being his first priority, he had no other plan. That's why he decided to go back. Through looking at what he did, we can see what the Lord it is that the Lord desires of us. We who refer to God as our Lord are worshiping Him again today, and we recognize Him as the one of authority in our lives. For what motive shall it be that we serve Him then? It's just as the servants. In the 19th century, there was a very famous scholar by the name of Louis Pasteur, and he worked with the field of modern bacteria science and was a Christian. When he was 37 years old, in Europe, there was a very serious announcement made, and it was something that shook the world. It was about Charles Darwin's book entitled Origin of Species. And this is a book that tries to prove that the theory of evolution is valid. Up until that time in Europe, people had not thought there was such a theory, but rather believed the Bible message that God has created everything. But this theory of evolution was completely contradictory to what the Bible had stated. So many people caught on to this. They thought, well, if life just randomly started, then it would have different impacts. For example, they thought about, well, if you buy raw meat and let it sit, then it seems that after a few days, maggots and mold would naturally appear because that's what happens. So they thought, oh, well, then life just must have just come out of nowhere as well. However, Pasteur was trying to prove that that was totally incorrect, and he wanted to prove it. So he took raw meat and put it into an area where there was no access to air, and there were no maggots nor mold that occurred. And by repeating this experiment, he was able to prove scientifically that life just doesn't come out of nowhere. Why is it, though, that he was very interested in this experiment? Because the truth of his God was being denied. He realized that there's no way that could possibly be true and wanted to prove it scientifically as well. So his motive for doing these experiments was based on his love for God. The God that we call our Lord is the God who has created us. He is the one who has saved us from heading toward eternal destruction and has led us to a path of eternal life. That is our Lord. And for that reason, we can have the desire to be able to follow him to our greatest extent. Thereafter, Pasteur would actually focus on his work with diseases. His oldest daughter actually died at the age of 9, and next daughter died at the age of 12 due to typhoid fever. His fourth daughter actually died at age 2 due to an illness as well. So his daughters, 3 of them, just all died when they're very young due to infectious diseases. In seeing this, he wanted to put an end to infectious diseases. So he actually was responsible for finding a vaccine and using it for the cholera bacteria. He was successful with the vaccines for this bird cholera. Then he focused on rabies. And when in those days someone was bit by a dog with rabies, they would actually become completely paralyzed or even die. So he wanted to get rid of rabies. He created a vaccine for this and was able to successfully do it. He hadn't tried it on humans yet, only on livestock. However, there was a young boy at the age of 9 years old who was bit by a dog with rabies and was brought to him. This was in 1885. They realized that if they didn't give him a vaccine immediately, he would die. But they never tried doing this on humans before. He was concerned, but he tried the vaccine on the boy and miraculously, the boy did recover. 56 years after that happened, Europe was taken over by the Nazis, Germany, and they continued to invade that area all the way up to Paris, France. When they got to one area, the Nazis actually came to Pasteur's grave and were wanting to ravage it. Of course, he'd already died, and so he was buried in this gravesite. But these soldiers were determined to just ravage his grave and cause problems. The grave site guard, of course, knew where the key was, but actually committed suicide so that they would never be able to find the key for it. And in this way, Pasteur's grave was never found. Why is it the guard committed suicide so that he wouldn't? It's because he was actually the 9-year-old boy who had been saved by Pasteur from rabies when he was very young. He wanted to show his greatest respect to the person who had saved his life, and that's what he did. So you can see just how influential this man was in his life and what he wanted to do in response to it. This is something that we can remember and keep in mind when we are thinking about how we serve Jesus Christ. How is it that we can reflect and serve the one who has created our lives? The servants in today's story was very loyal to Abraham. He wanted to do whatever he could to praise Abraham, regardless of how tired he was from such a long journey. The family's telling him, wait another 10 days, but he said, no, I want to go back today. The family said, well, let's ask Rebecca then. Let's see what Rebecca wants to do and go with what she says. My family likely thought, well, if Rebecca answers, she's probably going to say, oh, I want to stay a little longer. However, what did Rebecca reply? She said in verse 58, well, they asked her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. In English Bible, sometimes it says she said yes. But in Hebrew, in the actual language, there's no word yes. It just says go or I will go. So will you go? It's like yes, go. I mean, but not the word yes. It's just go. I will go. So it's a profession of her faith. So here she is. She's going to go with somebody who she doesn't even know, but because she knows it's God's will, then she's willing to go with it. And that's also, we can see how she was truly appropriate for the son of Abraham. How is it that Abraham originally set out? He was in present-day Iran and had spent his whole life there so far when he was called by God, and God told him to go leave where he was and go someplace else. And he left immediately without even knowing where he was supposed to be going. Wouldn't you think that'd be dangerous? But because he had faith, he was able to take a step out on it. His son was Isaac. There was a time when Abraham was told by God to sacrifice his son. He tied him up and put him up on a path to be sacrificed. He would have been over 30 years old at that time, so he could have refused what his father was trying to do to him, but he knew that that's what God wanted and was willing to give his life with it. So you can see that he truly had a lot of faith as well. You can see Abraham and Isaac both had faith, and so a woman to join in the family would need to also be somebody who has such faith as to say, I will go. In today's message outline, it has a very famous words in in Japanese, it's translated to English, like it says, no matter how much you hear about something, you can't tell unless you actually go look at it. So for example, if you talk about Israel, you won't really know about it until you actually go there, regardless of how much you hear about it. However, there's actually more to this phrase than just seeing is believing. It's no matter how much you look at something, you can't tell unless you actually think about it. And this means that you really need to think about something no matter how much you look at it. If you really think, then you can learn about it. And then after that, it says no matter how much you think about something, you can't tell unless you actually act on it. So regardless of how wonderful an idea may be, until you actually step out of faith on it, you're not going to know how wonderful it is. And this is true of Rebecca's faith and how she was taking a step out on that as well. Because of this, she was actually blessed abundantly by God. Verse 61 says, then Rebecca and her attendants got ready and mounted the camels and went back with the man. So the reverend servant took Rebecca and left. They set out on the 20-day journey. So how is Isaac? Verse 63. He went out to the field one evening to meditate. And in some Bibles, it says that he actually was going there to pray. So it wasn't that he was just going for a walk, but he was going to worship God for Isaac. And then at that time, Rebecca came, and that's when they first met. Verse 66, then the servant told Isaac all that he had done. And this word about telling him wasn't actually just a simple word. It actually has the nuance of like a researcher telling just everyday people exactly what he had been researching in a way that they could understand it. So he was explaining why is it that Rebecca was there and how he had prayed to God and God answered his prayer and how he had asked for water and he had received not only water for himself but for the camels as well. This was a very detailed explanation, and in hearing that, they would have been convinced that, yes, she was the one who was intended by God to marry Isaac. For this reason, in verse 67, it says that Isaac brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he married Rebecca, so she became his wife, and he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. This word comforted here is not just like a light word meaning that he feels better now that this other woman is alive instead of his mom, but it actually has a much deeper meaning of being saved or to being freed. So it's not just a simple phrase here. It's reflecting of the promise that God had made for the Abraham covenant and how that was coming to pass and how this was freeing and he was being saved as well. They were realizing that their marriage was one that was directed by God and would be used for his glory. That would have given them strength. And they would have been very grateful for that and in that way been freed of worries. In California, USA, there is the Redwood National Forest or National Park. And there are sequoia trees there that are extremely tall, large trees. How large are they? Well, the tallest ones of them are about 120 meters. Can you imagine a tree that tall? And around the diameter of the tree base is about 8.5 meters. Some of them are actually said to be over 2,200 years old, even before the life of Jesus. Why is it that they can live so long? sometimes in, you know, strong winds or typhoons or monsoons or so on can come, and also fires as well. However, they continue to live a long time. One of the reasons for this is because that their bark is about 30 centimeters thick, and it has a tannin in it, and so that prevents ants from coming in. And even if there's a fire, because the bark is 30 centimeters thick, the heat of the fire can't get inside of the tree, so it actually protects the tree. Another important aspect of these trees is actually their root system. The roots, of course, are underground, and they spread out quite a range, and actually they actually intertwine with the roots of trees next to them, so that if a tree starts to bend over for some reason, the other trees can actually support it. When I heard about this, I thought how, you know, husband and wives are kind of in the same way. It's not that they're just together, but rather there's this unseen world that they are joined together in, and by worshiping God together and supporting each other in Christ, then they can be strengthened. And this is exactly how it was for Isaac and Rebecca, how they were very oriented toward God. And my desire is that all marriages would have the same basis. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to look at the lives of Rebecca and Isaac and their marriage that we looked at today. We see how the servant was a very loyal servant, and his desire more than anything was to please his master. We know that God, you intervened and made this marriage possible. We ask, Lord, that our marriages too would be very much blessed by you. Allow our families, Lord, to be very blessed by you, and amongst our children, Lord, and those of the next generation, we ask that this blessing may be passed on. Please, Lord, remember us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This month is prayer month, and the third week is focusing on the topic of marriage and also children. So I would ask you to please pray for marriages and children. And there's someone who's going to come pray this morning for this. Dear Heavenly Father, today we are celebrating our families and thanking you for them. We are members of your family, and we thank you for that privilege. As members of your family, God, we ask that you continue to bless each of the families, and that if there's anyone who is not a believer in Christ Jesus yet, we ask that they will be able to have belief and faith in him. We pray for the children of our families, and that faith will be passed on to them. We pray that your word will be able to resonate in their hearts. Through your word and your blessings as well, we pray in your name. Amen. And I'll pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now, this week, and forevermore.